Welcome back to the new LifeSpring Family Audio Bible. This is episode 290, and it's Friday again. They just keep rolling around, don't they? It's a good thing they do, isn't it? Oh, by the way, my name is Steve Webb, and I'm your host. Today we're on track 3, which means we'll read a bit from the Song of Solomon. We'll read chapters 4 through 6 today from the Holman Christian Standard Bible. Let's begin. Song of Solomon, chapter 4. How beautiful you are, my darling. How very beautiful. Behind your veil, your eyes are doves. Your hair is like a flock of goats streaming down Mount Gilead. Your teeth are like a flock of newly shorn sheep coming up from washing, each one having a twin and not one missing. Your lips are like a scarlet cord, and your mouth is lovely. Behind your veil, your brow is like a slice of pomegranate. Your neck is like the Tower of David, constructed in layers. 1,000 bucklers are hung on it, all of them shields of warriors. Your breasts are like two fawns, twins of a gazelle, that feed among the lilies. Before the day breaks and the shadows flee, I will make my way to the mountain of myrrh and the hill of frankincense. You are absolutely beautiful, my darling, with no imperfection in you. Come with me from Lebanon, my bride, with me from Lebanon. Descend from the peak of Amana, from the summit of Senir and Hermon, from the dens of the lions, from the mountains of the leopards. You have captured my heart, my sister, my bride. You have captured my heart with one glance of your eyes, with one jewel of your necklace. How delightful your love is, my sister, my bride. Your love is much better than wine, and the fragrance of your perfume than any balsam. Your lips drip sweetness like the honeycomb, my bride. Honey and milk are under your tongue. The fragrance of your garments is like the fragrance of Lebanon. My sister, my bride, you are a locked garden, and a sealed spring. Your branches are a paradise of pomegranates with choicest fruits, henna with nard, nard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all the trees of frankincense, myrrh, and aloes, with all the best spices. You are a garden spring, a well of flowing water streaming from Lebanon. Awaken, north wind, come, south wind, blow on my garden and spread the fragrance of its spices. Let my love come to his garden and eat its choicest fruits. Song of Solomon, chapter 5. I have come to my garden, my sister, my bride. I gather my myrrh with my spices. I eat my honeycomb with my honey. I drink my wine with my milk. Eat, friends. Drink. Be intoxicated with love. I sleep, but my heart is awake. A sound. My love is knocking. Open to me, my sister, my darling, my dove, my perfect one. For my head is drenched with dew, my hair with droplets of the night. I have taken off my clothing. How can I put it back on? I have washed my feet. How can I get them dirty? My love thrust his hand through the opening, and my feelings were stirred for him. I rose to open for my love, my hands dripped with myrrh, my fingers with flowing myrrh, on the handles of the bolt. I opened to my love, but my love had turned and gone away. I was crushed that he had left. I sought him, but did not find him. I called him, but he did not answer. The guards who go about the city found me. They beat and wounded me. They took my cloak from me, the guardians of the walls. Young women of Jerusalem, I charge you. If you find my love, tell him that I am lovesick. What makes the one you love better than another, most beautiful of women? What makes him better than another that you would give us this charge? My love is fit and strong, notable among 10,000. His head is purest gold. His hair is wavy and black as a raven. His eyes are like doves beside streams of water, washed in milk and set like jewels. His cheeks are like beds of spice, towers of perfume. His lips are lilies dripping with flowing myrrh. His arms are rods of gold set with topaz. His body is an ivory panel covered with sapphires. His legs are alabaster pillars set on pedestals of pure gold. His presence is like Lebanon, as majestic as the cedars. His mouth is sweetness. He is absolutely desirable. This is my love, and this is my friend, young women of Jerusalem. Song of Solomon, Chapter 6. Where has your love gone, most beautiful of women? Which way has he turned? We will seek him with you. My love has gone down to his garden, to beds of spice, to feed in the gardens and gather lilies. I am my love's, and my love is mine. He feeds among the lilies. You are as beautiful as Tirzah, my darling, lovely as Jerusalem, awe-inspiring as an army with banners. Turn your eyes away from me, for they captivate me. Your hair is like a flock of goats streaming down from Gilead. Your teeth are like a flock of ewes coming up from washing, each one having a twin, and not one missing. Behind your veil, your brow is like a slice of pomegranate. There are 60 queens and 80 concubines, and young women without number. But my dove, my virtuous one, is unique. She is the favorite of her mother, perfect to the one who gave her birth. Women see her and declare her fortunate, queens and concubines also, and they sing her praises. Who is this who shines like a dawn, as beautiful as the moon, bright as the sun, awe-inspiring as an army with banners? I came down to the walnut grove to see the blossoms of the valley, to see if the vines were budding and the pomegranates blooming. Before I knew it, my desire put me among the chariots of my noble people. Come back, Shulamite. Come back, that we may look at you. Why are you looking at the Shulamite as you look at the dance of the two camps? May God bless the reading of His Word. As you probably know, this book can be read from at least two levels, as just an account of a bride and groom from the purely human level, or as an allegory of the love of Christ for the church. Both interpretations are beautiful, and both have merit. As I was studying again in preparation for how to present it to you, I came upon an interesting fact. Jewish teachers often advised their young people not to read it till they were 30 years old, because they were afraid that the book would stir up feelings of lust in them. Reading the language with our very different vocabulary, it's a bit difficult to imagine it having that effect on us, I suppose, but their fears are understandable, don't you think? But if we look at the book from the allegorical perspective, we see how much Christ loves His church, and how much we ought to love Him. I ran across the following excerpt from the great 19th century preacher Charles H. Spurgeon. He said, in reference to a portion of chapter 5, verse 16, which reads in the King James Version, "Yea, he is altogether lovely," Spurgeon said, "Looking at my text, I felt much humbling of spirit, and I hesitated to preach upon it, for I said in my heart, it is high, I cannot attain unto it. These deep texts show us the shortness of our plumb line. These ocean verses are so exceeding broad that our skills are apt to be driven far out of sight of land, where our timid spirits tremble to spread the sail." Then I comforted myself by the thought that though I could not comprehend this text in a measure, nor weigh its mountains in scales, or its hills in a balance, yet it was all mine own, by the gift of divine grace, and therefore I need not fear to enter upon the meditation of it. If I cannot grasp the ocean in my span, yet may I bathe therein with sweet content. If I cannot describe the King and His beauty, yet may I gaze upon Him, since the old proverb says, a beggar may look at a prince. Though I pretend not to preach from such a heavenly word as that before us, as to spread before you all its marrow and fatness, yet may I gather up a few crumbs which fall from its table. Poor men are glad of crumbs, and crumbs from such a feast are better than loaves from the tables of the world. Better to have a glimpse of Jesus than to see all the glory of the earth all the days of our life. If we fail on this subject, we may do better than if we succeed upon another. So we will pluck up courage, seek divine help, and draw near to this wondrous text, with our shoes off from our feet, like Moses when he saw the bush aglow with God. This verse,
Spurgeon continues,
has been translated in another way. He is all desires. And so indeed Jesus is. He was the desire of the ancients. He is the desire of all nations still. To his own people, he is their all in all. They are complete in him. They are filled out of his fullness. He is the delight of his servants and fills their expectations to the full. But we will not dispute about translations, for after all, with such a text, so full of unutterable spiritual sweetness, every man must be his own translator, and into his own soul must the power of the message come, by the enforcement of the Holy Spirit. Such a text as this is very like manna which fell in the wilderness, of which the rabbis say it tasted after each man's liking. If the flavor in a man's mouth was very sweetness, the angel's food which fell around the camp was luscious as any dainty he had conceived. Whatever he might be, the manna was to him as he was. So shall this text be. To you with low ideas of Christ, the words shall but glide over your ears and be meaningless. But if your spirit be ravished with the precious love of Jesus, there shall be songs of angels, and more than that, the voice of God's own Spirit to your soul.
I cannot improve upon what Spurgeon wrote, so I'll leave it at that. If you'd like to leave a comment, email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com or leave a comment on the show notes page at bible.lifespringmedia.com, episode number 290. Or tweet me, as always, at _SteveWebb_#LifespringMedia. I'll see you Monday. It's Father's Day this Sunday. Make it a good one. If you still have your dad, honor him this weekend. He won't always be with you. If you are a dad, I hope you get all the love and respect you deserve. Until we see each other again Monday, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Bye.